This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Pat Hodapp. She's Director of Libraries for the City of Santa Fe. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Mary Charlotte. This is always such a treat.
It's always so much fun to have you on the air. And I first of all want to congratulate you because the New Mexico Book Co-op has named you the winner of the 2015 Literary Award for New Mexico and Arizona. And it's an award given to supporters of authors and books and publishing in New Mexico and Arizona. And you have done such an amazing job as the director of libraries all of the years that you've been here. How many years has it been now?
It's coming up to 12 years. I think I'll give the city a baker's dozen.
Okay. We'll give them a baker's dozen. But anyway, I wanted to kind of make it even more public than it already is and let our listeners know that you have been recognized for this great work that you're doing.
Well, thank you. It was a total surprise. I love this book co-op and the authors. They give authors in New Mexico and Arizona such a chance to get their books out to the public, and they're always coming up with ways to do it. We just hosted a So You've Written a Book, and it was hosted by the New Mexico Book Co-op, and it helped people who maybe had a manuscript or they self-published and they want to go farther. How do I advertise my book? And it was such a helpful workshop because we have people come in basically every week saying, here's my book.
Right.
What do I do now? And so we had this four-hour workshop, and people really were appreciative, but we were happy to give the space to coordinate it and make sure that authors found a niche here. We even, you know, and publishers, they have a tremendous book award program, and they give out, I'm one of the judges, I give my time, and so do some of my staff, and to turn up some of these New Mexico and Arizona authors you've never heard of and go, wow, this is a great mystery, or this is the best nonfiction book of the year. Susan at the Christmas Shop did this beautiful book on nativities. And yes, it's available here, there, collected works and whatever, but to promote it is something else, and that's what these people help. So it's great fun. I love doing it. I love getting books out there. And of course, a lot of that's the literacy too. Rudolfo Anaya came to the library to talk about his book. We promote authors every chance we get.
I love that you got this award and they basically kind of surprised you. They said, oh yeah, can you just come down real quick and pick up some stuff? And then it turned out it was like a banquet for you.
It was really pretty amazing. One of the things the book co-op does is they give the Santa Fe Public Library a copy of every book that wins. And that's 63 to 75 books. And they said, you know, could you just pick them up? We have them on display at this dinner that we do. And if you could just pick them up there, we wouldn't have to box them and bring them up another time. And we'll pay for your dinner. So my husband and I went down. Turned out it's a banquet for over 250 people. And then they said, oh, by the way, why don't you sit right here at the front of the room? And it was just a complete surprise. And I'm so honored. Don Bullis got it for the first one. And John Byram, who's the University of New Mexico Press, got it last year for the work that they do. So I feel I'm in good stead. I've got good company.
Excellent. Well, congratulations once again. Now let's talk about what's going on at the Santa Fe Public Library. There are three branches. And you've got some great programs. One of them is called RAP, but we're not talking hip-hop.
Right.
We're talking Reading Appreciation Program.
And I named it RAP. It was going to be Winter Reading Program. I said, oh, it's over the holidays. You got to put an A in it. And what we do is like our summer reading program. Kids come in and register. They get a little log to write down all the books they write over winter break. And studies show if kids read when they're out of school, they come right back into school at the same level or higher. And so it's very casual. They come in, they show us their log that they've read six books. We give them a little prize, maybe a hologram ruler or a pen that changes colors due to the heat of your body, which gets them all interested in science. And then they get a little certificate at the end of the 2 weeks that they've been reading that they can show their teacher or their mom or their grandmother. And our librarians came up with that. We wanted something casual. Over the winter break, we don't do as many formal programs because kids are overwhelmed. We want them to come in and read. We do our story times for the younger kids then. And other kids can come in and read or use the computers. And it's just a laid-back time over winter break.
When you get people, when you get young people coming in and they want to become part of a reading program, I remember being an elementary school kid and there were certain kinds of books I liked, but I didn't, like, once I'd run out of one author, you know, a children's author had written so many books, then you run out. What do you do next? Do you have children's librarians who are like matchmakers, like this kid will do well with this book?
Yes, and we even have lists that we sometimes put out on bookmarks that say, if you liked Harry Potter, you're going to like this series or this book. And they do. The librarian's going way back. It's always to find the right book for the right child at the right time. And it's amazing how that happens. But librarians listen to the kids because we have the time to do it. Even if they come in with a big school class, some child will always come up, doesn't matter, boy or girl, and say, you know, I really liked Miss Piggle Wiggle. Do you have anything else? We go, oh, have you read Miss Pickerel? You know, she's as magic as the woman in Miss Piggle Wiggle. And they're off and running and reading. Yeah. And that's what's fun. That's why we often put up book displays, because that visual, that instant visual, kids just pick it up and then they'll come up and ask. But we have lists online. We do it for adults, too. If you like Westerns, I'm sure there's a list somewhere that says if you like this Western writer, Stuart Woods, you might like Craig Johnson, who wrote Longmire.
Do you find that children's books are kind of gendered, like there's books that boys love and books that girls love? Or, I mean, everybody loves Harry Potter.
Right.
So some things cross over. But, I mean, I remember when I was a little kid, we had a family next door who were my good friends, and there was this the little boy. All he read was war, battles. And I just thought that was the most boring thing in the world. And I read magic, and he wasn't going to read. There was nothing that could compel him to read books about magic. And I don't know, has that changed at all?
It hasn't changed that much, but I think there are some gender-breaking books, like you said, Harry Potter. And also happens to have, my age of growing up in libraries and learning about books was, you would buy for the boys because the girls would read them. Even if it was Knights in Armor, the girls would read it. But you have Princess or Queen Guinevere, and the boy won't touch it. So, and it's very much learned behavior, because when they find a good book where there's a strong female character, boys will read them. But there is a tendency to give that little boy a truck book.
Right, exactly. So when does this Reading Appreciation Wrap program begin?
It starts on the 19th of December. And it goes till January 1.
Now, one thing that's going to be happening is there's kind of an upgrade happening at the downtown library.
This is really exciting. It's been a real challenge for us with an old building. We're not sure when the last data wiring was done, probably about 1995. And so we've been doing a lot of patchwork. When I lived on a farm, you said you put it together with baling wire and chewing gum. And we've been at that situation. And with so many computers and all of the services that we offer that come right off those computers, we had to get rewiring done. Last year, we used state geo bond money to get our backbone done in the basement of the library. And that didn't affect the public other than a couple of an hour outage here and there when we had to change over. But this year, we're doing the first floor. And that's where we have all of the public computers, 15 computers for the public. We have our reference librarians. We've got our circulation system all on that floor. And we just had to rewire. Next year, we hope to have enough money to do the administrative and children's area. I was at the Denver Public Library when we built the new part, but we had to rewire the old part. And if you walk into the old library, it looks wonderful. You would never know this had been built in 1956. But about every 12 feet, there's this wonderful column. And people said, oh, is that Grecian? And we said, no, it's data wiring, because we had no other way to get that wiring up and around. So we're being really creative here. But we know this is going to impact the public so much. We will not be open to the public during that time. People can return books there. We have everything on our website. If you've got a book on hold, we are calling people and saying, what branch do you want it sent to? Because we'll use our courier to send it to Lafarge or Southside.
Nice.
So that won't hurt.
So people will be able to check out books and return books.
Absolutely. Not at the main library, though.
But I mean, they'll be I often go to the catalog online. You look up Santa Fe Public Library catalog. You find the book you want, and then you call or you reserve it.
Right, and you can say where you want to pick it up.
Yeah.
So just during those 2 weeks, and interlibrary loan also, they will be picked up at the other two branches.
2 weeks, that's nothing.
It really isn't compared to the long term of what this is going to do for us.
Which 2 weeks is it?
It is January 2nd through the 19th.
Okay.
And so it's 17 days. We looked very carefully at the children's programming, and we talked to the parents who come in. Books and Babies usually meets every Friday at the main library or Thursday. And so what we did was we talked to the parents and said, do you want us to start 2 weeks later, or do you want us to move it to a branch? And they wanted to move it to Lafarge. And that's perfect. They're going to get to know another branch. The program won't be derailed in any way. But the one program we had to move is we are bringing in a wolf from the Wild Wolf Sanctuary. And it was scheduled for January 16th. So what we're doing is we're going to have the wolf at the Lafarge branch. And then we'll do two at Southside because we had so many more people at Southside last year to meet the wolf.
I've met that wolf.
He brought two last year.
Yeah, they're wolves, but they're tame and they're safe, and it is absolutely stunning for anybody, child or adult, to meet one of these magnificent animals.
At the Lafarge branch, we have a very small meeting room that maybe holds 50-some people, little kids sitting on the floor, and we were saying, the wolf's coming, and we opened, they didn't know where it was going to be coming from, and we have a door to the outside, so the handler from the Wild Wolf Sanctuary came in with this wolf. And the wolf stood there, and it comes up to my waist.
Yeah.
And it looked, he has Paul Newman eyes. And he just looked around the room, decided we were okay, sat down and sat like the Sphinx and just watched us. And those kids were silent. They had met something wild and wonderful. When that program happens, we cannot get enough wolf books. Every wolf book, video,
Call of the Wild,
everything is out for at least 2 months.
Very interesting.
And we try to find programs like this. We have them once a month in the spring. We usually try to bring in an animal, a puppet, a magician, and the animals are the ones. What is it? Harold's House of Oddities here in town. That's at DeVargas Malls. Comes in with scorpions and everybody. And here's another thing that goes across genders. Girls love them as much as the boys, and they'll check out the snake books and the spider books and the tarantula books too. And what we try to do, we admit it, we lure the kids in. We lure them in.
Well, that's what you do. It's the public library, and once you get kids reading, then good things just keep happening in their lives.
They do, and these kids, they read everything, and we don't judge at all. That's the other thing. We have comic books in the library. We have graphic children's books. We have graphic novels for teens. If people are reading, they'll go to their own level and decide what they want to read. And we want to be there, and we want to have those materials. There's a lot of worry in people's minds that e-books, oh my gosh, books are gone. They'll never have paper books again. But even in a report that came out about 4 months ago, Scholastic Magazine and Scholastic Publishers said teen reading was up, reading, not e-books, was up 11% in the first quarter. So youth are going back to books. But on the other hand, we talked earlier, it's so amazing the kind of things we can get online for people. And all you need is your library card. That library card, and you go onto our website, you can download e-books, you can download magazines. We were talking earlier about this mother was just so grateful we had magazines online because it saved her $7 a month from buying Vogue. That's a real saving for her teenager, right? To not spend that.
As I like to say, lower your self-esteem online for free.
Well, we also have.
No, I know. I mean, you know, we all looked at Vogue when we were teenagers, and some people still do.
And
no
17
judgment.
And all of these. But what's so great is we're able to get the Encyclopedia Britannica online. We have Mango, where you can learn languages online, ebooks, audiobooks. Something that we're getting in the next few months is we're getting ebooks in Spanish, both for adults and children. And it's a test project for us. We often test things. And to see, is this something that people are really willing for us to put our money in? The State Library came up with Brain Fuse. And this is a homework help, 2 o'clock till 11 o'clock, Mountain Time. You go on our website to Brain Fuse, and you can have a tutor help you in almost any subject.
An actual tutor.
And these are college students that have specialties. So if you're working on that science project late, you can call and get help. And again, it's all free.
Pat Hodapp is the Director of Libraries for the City of Santa Fe. For more information, you can, of course, go to santafelibrary.org. Pat Hodapp, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
It was my pleasure. We love sharing the library.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.